Welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. And Ed, I want to talk about kind of a high-level concept here that deals with, I think, some of this recent weak data, whether it's that weak manufacturing ISM from yesterday or even the ADP jobs number today that was less than expected. The number came in at 135,000 jobs added. That's 5,000 less than expected, but August was revised down by 35,000. One thing that I think is very interesting is we're not exactly seeing companies increase the number of firings and layoffs, but they're not hiring at the same rate. And a lot of what we're hearing from companies, whether it's after the manufacturing number or even after this initial jobs number, is global uncertainty when it comes to trade, when it comes to growth. Now, a lot of these growth worries were around before even the tariffs started, but quite frankly, these tariffs and the lack of any sort of clarity as to where the world is going in this aspect, I think is really contributing to the slowdown in data in the U.S. and also now the more significant pullback in markets. What do you have to say about this really being the main factor of the weak data and the U.S. market weakness?
Great to be on. And I think you narrated it perfectly. The economy is definitely slowing down. Right now, many people are thinking that we're going to see possibly continued weakness in the labor market. I think that we've had made the manufacturing sector, deliver a couple of months of contraction readings. The overall outlook globally has just continued to deteriorate. And as much as the U.S. economy is, not completely driven on manufacturing, this is not the 70s, we're going to see this probably have a lasting impact across, the rest of the broader economy. And I think this jobs weakness is something that is going to be a key catalyst for the Fed to finally commit to that easing cycle. I think that for the longest of time, we were expecting the Fed to be a little bit more aggressive, but they've stuck to the script. They've been data dependent. They've been trying to see exactly how this trade war would unfold. And right now, I think you're going to see everyone be focused on these talks, that high level talks, which will start on October 10th. And if we do get some positive steps, I think you're going to have that lingering concern that, tariff man is not going away anytime soon. And even if we do have the U.S.-China trade war have some positive steps, I think we're going to start to see the European-U.S. trade war really pick up. And today we had the WTO kind of allotting that U.S. that $7.5 billion sanction win. So that go ahead for the U.S. to counter-attack the measures that Europe has done for Airbus. So you're going to see trade war is something that, as long as President Trump is president, you're going to see that be probably the focal point. But I think you're going to have a lot of the responsibility fall on the Fed as far as trying to deliver more stimulus. And right now, the U.S. consumer is still, are they showing signs of weakness? Yes. If we have a couple poor months with labor reports, you're going to see that confidence evaporate fast. But right now, the U.S. consumer is still strong, just kind of picking through the car manufacturers' monthly reporting. I mean, we're definitely seeing weakness with the consumer. But for the most part, if we do still see the U.S. economy grow at 1 to 1.5%, that is still likely to provide a scenario where, 2020 could still be a good opportunity for U.S. stocks to excel. But right now, we are in that cloud of uncertainty where we're going to see, if we keep seeing these technical levels breached, things could get ugly fast if we have trade talks completely fall apart here.
Well, one thing to note is now the S&P is about 5% away from its all-time highs, and the move this week has been pretty aggressive to the downside. So the next couple levels to watch was that low in, I guess, the beginning of August, which was about 28.22, and also the washdown low at the very beginning of summer in June was 27.28. So we're still above those levels, but definitely this downtrend and inability for the markets to get to all-time highs is weighing and adding some more credence to the bearish argument. But you even said that we have this Chinese-US trade war, but then we also have a European-US trade war that looks like it is picking up from some of the recent comments. However, we do have this election that is about 13 months away. Do you think that this election will play havoc in terms of timing, potentially forcing Trump to get something done on this trade war front? It seems like he's a long way away, but is this going to finally be the impetus to get him to sign something?
I think the pressure is on, and I think if he does let the October talks yield nothing positive, then I will be joining the recession camp. I've been hesitant thus far, but I think you're going to see the U.S. economy, those worries really start to accelerate. And the lack of business investment that we've seen that has stemmed from this trade war is only going to just really derail any major business decision as far as expanding, as far as production, long term. So if Trump wants to go into the 2020 election with a failing economy, ramping up the trade tensions is what he'll probably do. But I think ultimately the president is going to want to win at the trade war, win the election. And in order for that to happen, the amount of weakness that we're seeing business decisions have as far as investing in the future is something that we're going to need clarity here, because it's not like you can deliver a trade deal, let's say, in 6 months and then all will be well. No, it takes time for businesses to make these decisions. And right now, I think he made this go a little bit too far, and maybe he was hoping for the Fed to deliver a much more aggressive easing package and have two major drivers for growth in the economy. But right now, if he doesn't wrap this up, I think you're going to see those recession concerns come to fruition, and that will probably take place right around people are heading to the polls. So He definitely should be incentivized right now to wrap this up or deliver a significant interim deal that will, alleviate a lot of those big concerns that business has right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems like this trade war, especially with China, has just gotten into something even bigger than a simple trade war with a few tariffs put in place. But one other thing is that he keeps on blaming the Fed for not lowering interest rates fast enough when all these businesses are not saying that interest rates are low or not low enough. We've seen corporate borrowing. It's actually slowed a little bit, and I don't think lowering it to even lower levels is going to spur a whole lot of that growth. So there's a bit of a disconnect in terms of messaging, but we'll see what happens. Also talking about the commodities, though, we're seeing copper, oil, these are all falling as well. This, I think, is a great barometer of just the uncertainty around the world. And the precious metals continue to get bought up. Yes, they ended last month poorly, but they have rebounded very quickly. Is this going to be a continued story, do you think, is still the safe havens, even including the U.S. dollar, but even more so the precious metals continuing to get a buy along with U.S. bonds?
I think with the trade war right now, you're seeing the precious metals and the dollar benefit from all this uncertainty with, you know what's going to happen next. But if, let's say, we do see somewhat of a trade band-aid, interim solution, I believe that you'll definitely see a little bit of, you know, risk appetite kind of hurt these safe havens. But I think that longer term, you're still going to see gold benefit from these fiscal policies and monetary stimulus globally that we're seeing on the rest of the world deliver. And gold is likely to be well supported off of that. Whereas the U.S. dollar right now is possibly at a key turning point here, because if we do start to see a little bit of a pickup here with global growth concerns, and that could happen if we do have a significant trade deal, you could see the dollar be at a major turning point. And right now we have seen the dollar somewhat soften against some of these high beta currencies. So I think that you might not right now. Yes, the dollar is going to be strengthening on these safe haven flows. But if we do get that trade deal, I think that's going to be something that you'll still see gold and eventually kind of continue its bullish move. But the dollar might be at a key turning point.
All right. Interesting comments there, Ed. Good chatting with you. I will post a link below to the OANDA website where people can follow you and your writings every day as you recap early on in the day what's moving markets and throughout the day if anything significant comes out. Ed, great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.